World Sport from the BBC with me, Johnny O'Shea. Coming up, the final three places in the last 16 of the Champions League are decided. Vladimir Klitschko pulls out of this weekend's heavyweight title fight. And could Shane Warne be the answer to Australia's cricketing problems? Some in the media seem to think so. But football first, and the teams to qualify for the last 16 of the Champions League have now been decided after the final round of group matches on Wednesday. Arsenal, Shakhtar Donetsk and Roma are the final three sides to make it through to the draw for the knockout stages. Arsenal claimed their prize despite an unconvincing 3-1 win over Partizan Belgrade, watched by the BBC's Alan Green.
A win, so more than enough to finish second in the group, but Arsenal were far from impressive. They had only one shot on target in the first half, and that was from Robin van Persie's penalty, a bit of a soft award. Arsenal were better after half-time, slightly. Chamakh and Nasri really should have scored, but then the proverbial wake-up call. Cleo's shot deflected off Scalacci, 1-1. On came Walcott for the simply awful Arshavin, and within 6 minutes, he volleyed Arsenal in front again. Soon after, Nasri scored the third, his 12th goal of the season. But you can't emphasise enough, Arsenal won but weren't good. A fact compounded by the red card for Sanya, the last man bringing down Lazevski.
Shakhtar Donetsk claimed their place in the last 16 as group winners courtesy of a 2-0 victory over Braga. So joy for the Ukrainians and relief for Arsenal in Group H as they progress. But who'll be joining them in next Friday's draw for the next round? The BBC's Mark Crossley rounds up the remainder of the final group games.
Roma were the other team to guarantee their passage into the last 16 as they secured a 1-1 draw away in Romania against Cluj, Marco Borriello giving the Italians the lead before Lucina Traore scored a minute from time for the home side, but Claudio Ranieri's side finished second in Group E behind Bayern Munich, who thrashed Basel 3-0 in Germany. Franck Ribéry and Anatoly Timoshuk scoring twice in 3 minutes in the first half before Ribéry got his second and Bayern's third. Basel finished third in the group. Elsewhere in Group F, Chelsea had already qualified in top spots, but their recent run of poor form continued with a 1-0 defeat away in France to Marseille. Brandao the scorer. The French side had already guaranteed second place. The other game in that group was fairly meaningless. Spartak Moscow already taking third spot and with it the Europa League place, but their match away at Žilina was suspended due to crowd trouble in Slovakia. Spartak fans let off a firecracker and both teams went off the pitch. Play resumed after a 30-minute break, and it was the Russians who won 2-1, courtesy of goals from Alex and Ibsen. Real Madrid and AC Milan were already assured of qualification from Group G, so little to play for there except for the Europa League spot, which Ajax took thanks to a 2-0 win away in Milan. Demi Dezeu and Timothy Alderweireld on the score sheet for the Dutch, and Karim Benzema scored a hat-trick, and Cristiano Ronaldo won, as Real Madrid beat Auxerre 4-0 at the Bernabeu to claim top spot.
1 week after the announcement of who will host the World Cups in 2018 and 2022, the president of football's world governing body has spoken out in response to mounting criticism and calls for reform. The FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, has dismissed as nonsense allegations there's systematic corruption within in the organisation, saying we are financially clean and clear. More details from the BBC's Michael Williams.
It's the English media who have been particularly vocal in their attacks on FIFA after the country failed in their bid for the 2018 World Cup. But Sepp Blatter says their protestations smack of sour grapes. To be honest, said the FIFA president, I was surprised by all the English complaining after the defeat. England, of all people, are the motherland of fair play ideas. Now some of them are showing themselves to be bad losers. Blatter told a Swiss magazine on Wednesday, you can't come afterwards and say so-and-so promised to vote for England. The results are known. The outcome came out clearly. In a controversial decision, Qatar were awarded the 2022 tournament last week, and Blatter was again quick to defend the decision. I really sense in some reactions, he said, a bit of arrogance from the Western world of Christian background. Some simply can't bear it if others get a chance for a change. What can be wrong if we start football in regions where this sport demonstrates a potential which goes far beyond sport, he said. But as the mounting criticism from the world's media and bid leaders showed no signs of abating, Blatter did say that FIFA does need to build on some relations. We need to improve our image, he said. We also need to clarify some things within FIFA.
FIFA, meanwhile, is monitoring events in Ghana, where domestic football has been suspended until further notice. This follows a police raid on the country's football association to search for information on sponsorship deals. The Ghana League Clubs Association voted to pull its members out of all national divisions, saying the confiscation of computer equipment and files means the leagues can no longer be effectively administered. In the opening game of the FIFA Club World Cup in Abu Dhabi, the home side Al Wada Sports Club have beaten the part-time players of Hikari United from Papua New Guinea by 3-0. 7 clubs are taking part in the competition, which brings together the champions of each continent. The final will be played on December the 18th. The head of European football, Michel Platini, believes the French players responsible for their abysmal World Cup showing should have been handed lifetime bans. The UEFA president told a French magazine the players were completely useless and are absolute idiots after they boycotted a training session in protest at Nicolas Anelka's expulsion from the tournament. Boxing now, and the IBF and WBO world heavyweight champion Vladimir Klitschko has withdrawn from his upcoming fight against Derek Chisora from England. The bout had been scheduled to happen this weekend in Germany, but an injury has forced the Ukrainian to pull out. Chisora is said to be very disappointed. The BBC's boxing correspondent Mike Costello has more.
Well, Klitschko, we're told, is suffering from a bad back, and even against a man of such limited experience as Derek Chisora, he's taking no chances. And although reporters we've spoken to who watched him at a media workout this week say he looked good, his hard-earned reputation would be damaged forever by a setback against the likes of Chisora. One fight is called off. We hear another much bigger showdown may have moved closer. David Haye's manager Adam Booth is coming here to Vegas at the weekend to meet with Richard Schaefer of Golden Boy Promotions, and between them they're going to formulate a concerted effort to finally get it on between Haye and Vladimir Klitschko sometime in the new year.
Next to cricket, and the Australia team is being heavily criticised in much of the country's media after going 1-0 down in the Ashes series. Some are even calling for the return of former spin great Shane Warne, 4 years after he retired from Test cricket. Writing in the Daily Telegraph newspaper published here in Britain, Warne said he was flattered. In the Sydney Morning Herald, Richard Hines said the current side would be lucky to beat Bangladesh. We asked him whether Shane Warne might be the answer.
That's not a rumour, that's the product of wishful thinking, yearning for the past, and sheer desperation. Warney's not going anywhere. He's actually just started a talk show over here. He's turned himself into a version of Michael Parkinson. But I can tell you, he won't be coming out of retirement anytime soon. Definitely not. How long can you have that excuse? It's been going on for a long time now. They all talk about how Warne retired, McGrath retired, Gilchrist retired, but we've had time to find replacements. They just haven't done it.
While Australia deal with the media criticism, England's main preoccupation is who to select as replacement for Stuart Broad, who will miss the rest of the tour with a side strain. The England coach Andy Flower says it'll be a choice between Chris Tremlett, Tim Bresman and Ajmal Shahzad.
The three quicks that played in Hobart and helped win that game against Australia A will be playing in this Melbourne three-day game. And, you know, we've got an idea of what our bowling lineup will be for Perth, but we want to watch how that game progresses as well.
How much of an opportunity is this three-day game for those bowlers? Or are you pretty much decided on which way you're going to go in Perth already?
Look, we've got a fairly clear idea, but there's no doubt that there is competition for places in our setup generally. And this probably puts it into a little more focus with Broad opening up an opportunity there.
England coach Andy Flower there. Before we go, our top story, Arsenal, Shakhtar Donetsk and Roma have claimed the three remaining places in the knockout stage of the European Champions League. Stay with us for further updates, but for now, that's the latest World Sport from the